Defense attorneys are obligated to keep secrets, and often those are guilty secrets. Attorney-client privilege is one of the areas of the law that are especially difficult for the public to understand. It can mean that an attorney who knows where a body is buried or what has happened to a missing child is forced by the Code of Ethics to carry that secret to the grave. UH Law Professor Ken Lawson has seen his share of ethical challenges in the course of his career. He's speaking about legal ethics in a forum next week, and he's with us in our studio. Hi, Ken. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Chris.
It's, as I said, this is difficult for a civilian to understand, that you might know the truth about a crime and be enjoined to keep that a secret no matter what, right?
Absolutely. And it's difficult for students that I teach to understand, too. You know, when you have cases, you know, where someone has spent decades in prison for a crime they didn't commit, and the attorney of the person who actually committed that crime knows that their client did it, right?
Yeah.
That happened to Alton Logan in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
where lawyers knew that their client had actually committed the murder that Logan was on trial for, and Logan was facing a death penalty. And those lawyers could not tell Logan's lawyer or the judge that Logan was actually innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And so the jury voted 10-2 to send Logan to the death penalty, to the electric chair. Instead, he got life in prison without the possibility of parole. He spent 26 years in prison. Finally, the lawyers who represented the actual suspect got the suspect to agree that once he died, that they could reveal the secret.
The actual perpetrator.
The actual perpetrator. So the perpetrator died, and then the lawyers came forward. It was 26 years later. So Logan spent 26 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit, and all the while, the attorneys who represented the actual perpetrator knew this.
When you tell your students that they are obligated to do what that attorney did, what kind of things do they say to you?
Well, some students say that they would just take their chances with the Bar Association.
It's a career ender.
It could be a career ender. But here's the problem, though. Even if you reveal it, attorney-client privilege is an evidence rule, right? So if it's privilege, it can't come into evidence. You got a husband-spouse privilege, right? So, you know, and the reason why we have a husband-spouse privilege is so that we allow marriages to flourish by being honest with each other.
Places
right?
where secrets are kept.
Right. And so, you know, if the attorney comes forward, and this happened in North Carolina, where the lawyer knew that his client had actually committed this crime. So he comes forward, and the judge tells him, I must report you to the Bar Association, and that evidence is not coming in because it's privilege. And you can't bring that evidence into court, so even once you reveal it, it doesn't do any good.
Wow.
One way around that is going to the prosecutor saying, listen, man, you know, I represent someone who I truly do believe actually committed this crime, and you're prosecuting the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that too could be iffy, but at least you're trying to do something. But the purpose of the privilege is so that people can come to their lawyers and know that whatever I tell you is never going to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's important to the lawyer is, how can I counsel you and advise you if you're not telling me the truth?
Yeah, yeah.
So I want you to feel free to come in and tell me the honest to God truth, and then I can give you counsel based on my years of experience.
Principle being that no matter who you are, there's got to be somebody that you can be completely honest with.
Same reason why people go in certain religions, Catholic, right, going into the confessional. You know, if you want your soul to get to heaven, you better come in and confess your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't have to worry if the priest is going to run out the other end of that confessional and tell the police all the sins you committed.
Well, the whole act of carrying guilty knowledge for an attorney is something you better understand really well going in, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because, again, the privilege belongs to the client. And so even, you know, you got some lawyers who will go home and their spouse may say, well, what did you do at work today? What kind of case did you have today? And hey, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
It's none of your business, right?
You know? In fact, though, you know.
In fact, in practice, it happens, right?
Yeah,
because,
sure.
Again, that's a lot of, as you pointed out, Chris, that's a lot of weight to carry.
Yeah.
And so a lot of lawyers, you know, you have to go home. And you don't have to, but, you know, some lawyers find comfort in going home saying, you know what, this is bothering me.
Yeah.
I had a person come in today and they killed a child or whatever, you know what I mean? And now the judge appointed me to represent this person and I'm conflicted, whatever. So you should be able to consult. And some of the rules allow that.
But your spouse would also be, that would also be a privileged discussion of a different kind, or would it?
Of a different kind. But again, the attorney, and what we have to get across to students is this, that you have to counsel your client on what the privilege is. In other words, you can come into my office and you and I have a privileged conversation. And you get home and your wife says to you, what'd your lawyer tell you?
Yeah.
Once you tell her what you and I talked about, it's no longer privilege.
Oh.
Right? And so I had to explain that to you. Listen, anything you say to me is privilege, but if you go out and run your mouth to your family and
friends,
no matter who, it's not privilege.
Mm-hmm. So that person could be subpoenaed and what did he say to you?
Right. Or if I tell you, let's meet at Starbucks, mm-hmm. and you and I are having a privileged conversation, if people are within hearing distance and they're eavesdropping, mm-hmm. that privilege doesn't exist.
Yeah. So it's strictly a one-on-one relationship. And the principle being the greater good, right?
The principle being the greater good, again, if you want your client to come in. A lot of lawyers will say, you know what, I don't want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you did it, right? Mm-hmm. I was never that type of an attorney. I wanted to know, because if you're telling me the truth, then I know when everybody else is lying. But if you're lying to me and everybody else is lying, it's hard for me to get at the truth if you know, I have a witness on the stand and we're doing cross-examination. As long as I know you're telling me the truth, at least I'll know when everybody else is lying.
Otherwise, you're standing up in a rubber boat, right? You've got nothing to...
Absolutely. Now, what I can't do is put that client on the stand after he or she admitted that they committed the crime. And then they take the stand in their own defense and say, you know what, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. The lawyer can't put the client on the stand in that situation and suborn perjury.
Well, that's, you know, no matter what... You've got to be able to deal with that if you're going to take on that task at all.
And, you know,
and uphold the greater good no matter what. That's what you're saying.
One of the most famous cases, and I'll be real quick on this, Chris, I sent to you in the email, was out of Syracuse, New York. And mm-hmm. it was back in the 70s where this notorious murderer finally got arrested after a string of murders. And he tells he's in the hospital because the police had to shoot him in order to get him into custody. So he's in the hospital talking to his lawyers, and he tells his lawyers, I know where the bodies of two teenage girls are buried.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, in order for me to get out the death penalty, I want you to go to the prosecutor and tell them that I'll do life in prison in exchange for me telling the parents where their daughters are buried at, right? And the parents really wanted to know.
Sure. It becomes a bargaining chip, that information.
Right. And the prosecutor said, I'm not going to bargain on it. And so the girl's parents and the public really wanted to know where the body's at, and the lawyers couldn't say it because of the privilege.
It really gives us some insight into a thing that I don't think too many people understand, Ken. Thanks very much for coming in.
Anytime.
Ken Lawson is a former defense attorney and an associate faculty specialist at the William S. Richardson School of Law at Manoa. He'll be taking part in a symposium on legal ethics next Tuesday at the law school. It's part of the annual summer Will K. Weinstein Conversation Series. It's free and open to the public.